With me this hour is Michael Swain, the Executive Director for Freedom of Religion South Africa. Michael, thanks for talking to me this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me on the show. Always a pleasure.
So, Michael, I was going to try and unwrap this issue. There's just so many parties involved. The SACD, your organization, FORSA, the CRL Rights Commission, Section 22 Committee. This is a complicated story. And I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to outsource this to you. You tell me what the story is here.
Well, in a nutshell, the CRL Rights Commission have embarked on a process to try and reintroduce legislation which would bring a system of state regulation to actually every faith group in South Africa. Now, they happen to have initially focused on the Christian church, and particularly, it would seem, the charismatic churches. But the fact of the matter is that this is a matter that was extensively debated when the same CRL chair who's now pursuing this course of action was the chair of the CRL Rights Commission during the 2016-2019 period. And I don't know whether you would remember this, but there was a report produced entitled The Commercialization of Religion and the Abuse of People's Belief Systems. And that report pointed out some very high-profile instances of abuse that were taking place. You might remember the snake eating and the prophet of doom and petrol drinking, and there were various things like
100%.
That. And she then decided, as a consequence of that, the solution that was proposed by the CRL was to introduce a system of state regulation of religion, which of course means that the state and the CRL chair particularly put this in the papers that they produced. They would be the final arbiter of religion, and they would effectively decide therefore who was or who was not suitable to be a religious practitioner. But you know, but clearly, just think about that for a moment. That is the death of any meaningful right of religious freedom. And this
Michael,
was robustly
can I stop
debated.
You there for Michael, can I stop you there just for 1 minute? I truly do not know this issue in great detail at all. The little bit of reading I've done on this, it seemed to indicate that they were talking about self-regulation by the churches to avoid these extreme situations that you refer to. I mean, that sounds eminently reasonable to me. Is that not the case?
Well, that is actually eminently reasonable. And of course, the other issue is that the law should apply, because every one of those abuses that were pointed out were in fact either criminal or civil offences and therefore covered by existing law. So, yes, you're completely correct. And many, many churches, denominations, religious groupings, they have their own system of self-regulation. That's what religious autonomy is all about, in a sense. But of course, what the CRL were proposing was to introduce legislation so that there would be effectively state oversight of that. And of course, once you get that level of state interference, then you don't have a meaningful right to religious freedom any longer.
Yeah, then we get on the slippery slope and we don't know where that ends. And what starts with the Christians certainly, certainly doesn't end with the Christians. Who is the CRL Rights Commission and why the overreach? I mean, in which world did they think that that was okay?
Well, you've asked a very good question. So the CRL Rights Commission, it stands for the Cultural, Religious and Linguistic Rights Commission. And this is an institution of state set up by Chapter 9 of the Constitution. And effectively, what it's designed to do is to give special protection to religious freedom rights. It is supposed to play a very significant role in bringing unity and bringing information and coordination and generally speaking, helping protecting and bringing that sort of social cohesion between faith groups in particular. And of course, at no circumstance and no situation ever envisaged that it would now take on the role of almost being the sort of policeman, the oversight of what is or is not acceptable in the faith communities. And that was the consequence of that, was that once COGTA, which is the a government parliamentary portfolio committee that oversees this area, had listened to all the different submissions from faith communities. They actually did not accept the CRL's views, and they specifically did not accept or endorse or support any form of state regulation of religion. And that, we thought the matter was then settled. And a lot of good things happened in the interim. A code of conduct was developed by and for the faith communities. Many new large covering bodies, so to speak, again, all voluntary, were set up, and literally thousands of churches have joined them. But lo and behold, this year, the CRL chair was reappointed and immediately has gone back into the same situation, actually trying to do things which Parliament had already said, no, this is not necessary. And hence why, which is like, imagine the nature of this conversation, a lawsuit has now been filed by an organization called the South African Church Defenders, specifically to challenge the validity of this course of action.
I would presume that your organization is being supportive of the action taken by them.
Well, we certainly support the fact that these things must be taken under review. And that's obviously a right that we have in law and in the Constitution. And you know, when you actually see the, let's say, the mandate that's been given to this particular Section 22 committee that the CRL has set up, and some of the draft ideas that they have already put forward, you can see that this is something which is fundamentally contrary to, number one, what the Togta report was saying in 2018, and generally speaking, to religious freedom full stop, because, you know, again, it is right back proposing peer review mechanisms with oversight and pretty, you know, potentially quite serious sanctions for people who step out of line, even based upon a suspicion, as this draft paper that came out of the chapter, the Section 22 committee revealed. So yes, very concerning. And obviously, the sooner that this is placed on hold, the better.
I'll unpack this in my mind. I think what you're saying is absolutely right in terms of the slippery slope aspect. And yet I'm concerned about this issue of self-regulation in that it has proven to be ineffective. I mean, I hear what you're saying about spraying somebody in the face with a can of doom. Maybe that's criminal, maybe that's not. I don't know. An argument I would imagine could be made that it's not if you're silly enough to do it or told to do it. Has self-regulation in your mind failed?
Well, I think let's get back to the example you gave, the so-called prophet of doom. And this is the very point that Forrest A has long made. He was charged with 5 counts of assault and convicted and sentenced to a suspended jail sentence and given quite a serious fine. So when the law is applied, which of course it should be, because there's no such thing as a spiritual crime. A crime is a crime is a crime. It doesn't matter who commits it, whether it's a pastor, a policeman, a politician, or a postman. If you break the law must deal with you. But we believe that when it's applied correctly and effectively, it works. But secondarily, yes, self-regulation is working. As I said, one of the big problems back in 2019 was that there wasn't a really much uptake from the independent Christian churches for some form of association. But that has been largely rectified. We now have an organization called SACOF, which was set up in 2021, in fact, and now has over 20,000 of these churches under its umbrella. And of course, that provides a lot of, you know, let's say self-regulation, a lot of accountability, a lot of opportunity for education and that type of thing. So yes, a lot has improved since 2019. And I think, again, the abuses that are being referred to often in the media, they all happened about 8 or 10 years ago. So, you know, we really are rehashing old stuff that's already been decided.
Michael, I don't know the extent of the authority of this particular body to make laws and bring actions, but I just think from a Jewish perspective, I mean, they've started with the Christians, but I would imagine it wouldn't take them long to be able to talk about circumcision in a Jewish context or ritual slaughter, again, in a Jewish context. I mean, this is a kind of scary place to be.
Well, no, absolutely. The very fact of the matter is that you cannot actually pass legislation that just targets one religious group. So the first thing for you to know is that whatever affects the church as a consequence of this, or the Christian church as a consequence of this action, if there's legislation, will apply equally to the Jewish faith and to the Islamic faith and Baha'i and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody gets put into the same situation, so to speak. But yes, you're right. I mean, you know, once you give the state the power to involve itself in matters of faith, then you really are on a slippery slope. And I think it's important to point out that the Constitutional Court has actually said that even if a belief is bizarre, irrational, illogical, or incapable of any form of proof, it is still protected by religious freedom. And therefore, essentially, and as a principle of law, we have something called the law of entanglement, where courts are very hesitant to actually look into religious practice, because religious practice is almost always attached to some form of faith or faith expression or holy scripture. And therefore, they're very hesitant to involve in that, because, of course, as soon as you do, then you've crossed the line, you're actually starting to infringe upon people's right to religious freedom. So essentially, we should be left free to worship as we will, however we will, of all faith or no faith at all. And unless you break the law, then really there's nothing that the state should be doing to interfere or intervene with that, we believe.
Final comment slash question from me. I'm just thinking this sounds actually like a slam dunk. This sounds like it's a decision which, in terms of administrative law principles, they just do not have the authority to make. It's an ultra vires decision and therefore should be invalid.
That's precisely the outcome that we're looking for, I think, or certainly that the SACD are looking for, we would fully support. We believe this is an overreach. There is no power given to the CRL by the Constitution or by the CRL Act of 2002 that actually gives them this type of authority. And so, therefore, we do believe that the sooner this is declared to be unlawful, and therefore, you know, none of its recommendations would be applicable or have any authority in any event, the better. It's very disruptive to the faith communities as well. You know, the CRL is supposed to be there to bring unity, to bring, you know, support. But instead, unfortunately, this type of thing can be very divisive. And therefore, we think as soon as it can be put on hold and reviewed, the better.
Michael, that was a great discussion. Thank you for your time this afternoon. That was Michael Swain, the Executive Director of the Freedom of Religion for South Africa.